94 WIP. It's the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Pete Douglas. There you go. Did Nick Sirianni bring you up a little bit there, Hugh? He didn't bring you down.
I mean, he didn't. I'm indifferent when it comes to Coach, because like I said, I relate to Coach. He's relatable.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when he talks, he's speaking in stream of conscience. He's doing a lot, though, man. It's almost like he's trying to justify some of the decisions that he's making to people that aren't really going to fully understand it. You know, like, because it's like I said, it's been a big deal made about the fact that he didn't break the team down.
Right.
I didn't think that much of it because I understand that there might have been a situation or a scenario where that was warranted. But to a lot of people, after a loss like that and the way that you lost, for him not to say anything to the team is probably the most egregious thing he could have did.
Right.
I don't see it that way.
No, and I kind of see it your way as well. And again, I mean, you would know better being in the locker room. I've been in an NFL locker room, but it's just sometimes the way he answers these questions almost makes it worse. Like, he brings up showing the team videos of Roger Clemens and the 93 Phillies. I didn't really understand where that was coming
well,
from.
Well, it's like this. Like I said, I understand Coach Sirianni, and I guess now my job is to try to explain to you as best I possibly can
right.
what he's saying. He's trying to take you inside the locker room just a little bit in the thought process on a day-to-day basis. But one thing he's failing to realize is that this ain't the week for that. Like, this is the week where we're still processing the loss. We're still questioning some of your moves. I tell you what, man, if the thing that makes this the decision from Monday night a talking point for so many different people is because of everything that happened last year and the way that we got to the point that we're at now. Because it always feels like, whether it's true or not, that Coach Sirianni is trying to justify his existence.
Right.
As the head football coach.
And that's just a bad situation.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I think he's a good coach, but the bottom line is this. Every time that he talks now, it feels like he is justifying him being here. You know, because he talks about him talking to the guys, going in the locker room. He's giving you way more information than you actually need.
Right. And it does feel like that sometimes. And as far as the injuries went, no update on AJ, no update on C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but want to know your takeaways from Nick Sirianni's press conference as well after what we heard a few minutes ago. And we'll have Scott Francie coming up at noon, obviously, to talk about the Phils. But your reaction to Nick Sirianni, his press conference, no updates on C.J. or A.J. Let's go back to the phones, go to Rich in the Poconos. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. Hey.
Yeah, so you were telling the story about the team and whatnot.
Yeah, you. I do the chains up at East Stroudsburg University, mm-hmm. Vic Fangio's alma mater. And one of our kids is actually on the practice squad, the DE, over there in Kansas City. So, you know, it's a good chance he's in good hands. But my point is, I'm watching these games. I'm watching these cornerbacks, this secondary, and nobody wants to press coverage. All they want to do is play off. Now, I watch these kids at PSAC, you know, at the state level, and these kids are jamming the receivers. They're not getting – it seems like everybody just wants to jump the route, jump the route. Like number 27 last week, he jumped the route and he's holding his head. What happened to the technique of jamming the receiver, taking away that timing, which gives your line a little extra time to maybe get there and at least get more pressure where it's Derek Carr. I mean, it seems we always get burned by these second-level quarterbacks. They just nickel and dime us down the field. I want to see more press coverage. You know, I want to see that the guys can't keep up with them running, you know, stride for stride and then they had to try to jump the route because what I'm seeing is the guys are playing 10 yards off. The receiver cuts out 5 yards and boom, you know, West Coast offense, typical, you know, crossing patterns, and we get burned. And then the next thing you know, we're down by 7 or, you know, we're looking up. Your thoughts on that? And I'm driving, so I got to pay attention, but I'll listen to it on the radio.
All right, thanks.
Yeah,
Rich.
I think if I'm not mistaken, if you're talking about playing press covers, they changed that years ago. They changed that about back when I was playing, because they were trying. It was designed more so to make the offense more exciting, and let them score more. Because I remember back in the day, and it's always funny when I have to go back in the day, But Troy and Bobby, those guys used to mug receivers damn near all the way down the field.
Oh, yeah. Al Harris?
And I think, yeah. And I think after that, that's when they changed it because they wanted to give the receivers, you could hit them, but then you can't, after 5 yards, you can't touch them.
And you also, I mean, you do that these days with these receivers, how quick they are, you're really risk getting burned over the top if you're playing press coverage.
Yeah, so you want, a lot of teams play a lot of zone, man. You very rarely have corners that are like man-to-man corners. It's a few. But most teams play zone because of that reason, because you can't press like you used to.
Right. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing this afternoon?
What's going on,
what's up,
Will?
Man?
Oh, man, listen, Hugh, I totally agree with what you're saying. Now, we either going to get the old Derek Carr or we're going to get the new Derek Carr. Because the new Derek Carr got a new team, and he, it seems like he's clicking with him. Mm-hmm. But we both know the old Derek Carr, once you put some pressure on him, you know, he's guaranteed at least two interceptions. Most of the time, pulled under pressure, right? But my thing is this. They're preparing for whatever blitz package that we're going to bring. They prepare for us to try to stop the run. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to run it anyway. So I hope our Eagles is being prepared for that. Because they, just like what you're saying, what we need to do, keep running it till they can stop it. And that's what they're going to do Sunday. So what we need to do is hit them with the same thing they're going to hit us with. Hit them with the run. Bring in the 12 personnel. Bring in some extra blocking. Call some audibles. Do some hurry-up offense. Call some fake audibles. Do whatever it takes to throw the defense off right now, man. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to do different things. You got to show different formations. Because like I said, man, and I know you're looking at it too, Hugh. It's looking like the same formation, the same as last year, man. And that's the only reason why I keep saying it, because that's what I'm seeing. But I know we're a better team than that. You think what I'm saying? I know we're better than that.
No, I hear you.
So the whole thing is, like I said, I'm not putting all of it on the players. I'm putting a lot of it on the coaches, because, damn it, they should be teaching these guys at least how to tackle, at least how to get Jalen Tomlin down. And what I want to see Sunday, I want to see two touchdowns from Goddard. When y'all in the red zone, I want you to look for Goddard, because you can't miss that target. Well, you're going to get it to him. Well, and last but not least, my score is going to be 35-31. Eagles win, baby.
35-31. There you go, Will. I mean, you need a lot of offense in that one. Two touchdowns for Dallas Goddard. I don't know. I don't think that's too likely. Two touchdowns, a lot.
I mean, that's a lot. But I feel him. But I feel like in order for us to be successful, that we have to score quickly. And we have to figure out how we can do that. Well, we have to score quickly. We have to put it – we can't – because I think part of the problem that we had last week was that we let the Falcons hang around too long. We should have had Kirk Cousins throwing the ball a lot earlier in the game instead of running the ball. When you have a offense that's sputtering the way that ours did last week, even though they put up 21 points, you need to score quickly and you need to score often so that you can take the other team out of their game plan. That's a strategy. Like if you're out there and you score 21 points before the half, that throws their clock off as far as what they want to do. The Atlanta Falcons during that whole game, they kept it close because we weren't scoring, they weren't scoring. They knew that if they kept it close, that they would have a chance to win that game. The Saints look like they're pretty explosive. But if you can get out there and you score on your first possession, second possession, third possession, things like that, I think you would throw them off a rhythm a little bit.
Well, one thing he brought up that I think is a good idea, Hugh, is using tempo, like going faster. I mean, the Eagles, we haven't really seen that this year. And, I mean, you'd imagine that's something Jalen Hurts would be able to do well, especially when you don't have the talent advantages you would typically have on the outside with AJ, that might be a way to kind of catch the defense asleep a little bit. I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, and man, listen, I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. You have to score points if we want to win games. And this defense, all I want them to do this weekend is stop the run.
Yeah, stop
the run.
There you go. Stop the run, baby steps, and everything else hopefully will fall into place.